This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics will be giving all eligible Australians the opportunity to express their view on whether Australian marriage laws should be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry. Survey forms will be sent to all eligible Australians on the Commonwealth electoral roll. To participate, you must be enrolled. To enrol, check or update your details, visit the AEC website, search AEC or visit an AEC office. The roll closes Thursday, August 24. Authorised by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Canberra. Spoken by Jake Downs.
Joy sponsor.
You're listening to Stand Up Straight. We aim to provide a vehicle for allies to stand up for the rainbow communities, facilitating change, acceptance, understanding and dialogue. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Stand up straight.
Good evening, everyone. It's Michelle in the studio, Bex in the studio, the lovely Rachel, who you heard a snippet of her voice, is in the studio as well.
I can't help but talk over the news. It's the drive thing.
It's a very good So where would we have heard you before?
Oh, Tuesday Drive. Oh. Rach and Dean, yeah. Jack in the back. I'm the Rach.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, she's very clever, that lady.
Thank you to that lovely Andrew for the news.
Yes, excellent news voice.
I thought we'd lost another of our newsreaders. We tend to train them up and they go and work somewhere better, but our other lovely Beck is off gallivanting. I think she's in Greece.
According to her Facebook, she is, till I deleted her.
Yep. And to the Informer team for a great afternoon, half an hour of informative stuff from around the world. And as we're a little bit prone to do at the beginning of our show, we...
The week on Stand Up Straight.
Still think I should be allowed to sing that.
Well, I was giving you permission. I did say, come on back.
All right, come on back now. It's your turn. No, now I've got stage fright.
Okay, rehearse.
Maybe later.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of allies of the week, all of us. I'm just going to read one out really, really quickly. This is something I saw on the Twitter sphere. A high school teacher had a note passed to them and it said, and this looks like in sort of a childlike kind of writing, and it says, I came out earlier this month. You guys are helping it be easier. So this, aww. I don't know who it is. I don't know what country or anything, but the students passed that to their teacher. I thought that was really lovely. And, Beck, you got an ally of the week? Would you like some thinking time?
No, I'd like some thinking time, but I think at the moment, is it not one of the most important times for us all to really amp up the ally card, so to speak? It's hard to talk about.
It is, and it's interesting that you say, and you're not one that's stuffed for words, but and we'll be bringing our guest in shortly and we'll be discussing marriage equality, but from a slightly different perspective. But in the studio, and Beck, Stephanie will be joining us really in a couple of minutes as well, we've got three women in the studio with three very different perspectives. And perhaps I've got a gay son and I'm straight. Stephanie's got three kids and she's a straight lady. Her children may or may not be, we don't know. Beck is a straight lady who is extraordinarily passionate about our GLBTI community, and Rachel across the desk is in a same-sex relationship and cannot get married. So
exactly.
I'm wondering how you feel. Can you sum it up in any
frustrated.
Kind of...
Frustrated.
Is it anger? Sadness?
It's a mixture of a lot of emotions, but the frustration is the main thing. It's knowing that it's a decision that it's inevitable. Mm. Everybody knows one way or another it's going to happen eventually in Australia. So why don't they just pull their fingers out and do it now? Mm. And don't waste the money. That's, you know, the basic summed into a tiny little lump. Frustration.
You got some wonderful support at your workplace.
Exactly.
As well, don't you?
My allies of the week are my team at work at Ruby Hair Windsor. Thank you so much, guys. Giving them a shout out because they have been so passionate. They've even been passionate towards their clients talking about it and saying, are your voting details up to date? Because if this postal vote happens, you need to be voting yes. And that means so much to me. So
I think my, as I think about it, my overwhelming emotion this week has been guilt. Guilt about the fact that my friends are in a position where, well, firstly, they're not allowed to get married, but secondly, that we have to have the indignity of us all posting in an opinion on it.
Yes,
and I just don't, like, I don't necessarily want to get married, but I could go out and marry some random for 5 minutes tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. And I'm so glad that John Smith from Ipswich gets to tell me whether or not I can marry my fiancé or not.
Oh, no. And so that's been my real overwhelming emotion is guilt about the fact that this has to happen for people that I love.
And it's interesting because the guilt is something that I've felt, and I don't know whether sometimes I feel like I don't want to say I'm married or my husband, who and I love and adore my husband, so that's not the issue, but it's the fact that I have a privilege to say those words and others don't. And I absolutely, the guilt thing is very real, and I haven't heard a lot of talk about that. The other overwhelming feeling that I have is that I'm scared for what my son's going to hear. Mm. I'm really, really scared for the behaviour that he may or may not experience. I hope he's in a bubble, in a sense, beautiful friends and family and all of that kind of thing. But I don't want him to have to read the vile stuff that has already started.
Mm. And I think it's interesting you say that bubble. I was thinking today about, as I said at the start, how important it is for everyone to really, if you're an ally, now's the time to really show it. And I think it might be as simple as, if you do have a friend that's LGBTI, just check in, say, how are you feeling about all this? Because sometimes, you know, sometimes it's much better to have someone ask you how you're feeling than have to go and explain to everyone how you feel. So I was thinking that's such a simple thing to do. Mm. And I think the other thing is, like, we in here, I imagine people that listen to our show are probably more educated about these things and have a greater understanding. So if you are in that position of understanding the impacts of this a little bit better, talk to people that aren't as knowledgeable about it, because I think on the face of it, people who are not as knowledgeable as we are probably just think, oh, that's great. That's great there's a plebiscite, because then everyone can say they're in favour, you know. And I think that is a really common opinion because they don't understand all the background stuff and all the problems that it can cause. So I just think it's really incumbent on those of us who have the luxury of that knowledge to really use that to try and, you know, educate people a little bit.
And it is, you're right, Beck, it can be simple as just saying, you know, I'm on your side, or do you want to talk to me, or are you feeling, you know, if stuff's upsetting you, please know you can pick up the phone and call me, or I can come round, I can sit with you. It's that kind of stuff too. And you're right, and this is a time to be an ally in the world for lots of different reasons, but we're all touched in this studio and at this time in Australia. We are all touched in a way that a lot of other people wouldn't be. And it's also, maybe it's will bring the community together more so. It might make the community stronger, I dare say. But I think it's really important, Beck, I agree. We're in a privileged position, and if we have knowledge that we can impart or help educate, and we don't have to be angry about it, even if we feel it inside. You know?
It might be as simple as saying, you know, the people that do, I know it's a really common opinion about the plebiscite's great because we can have a say. It might be just saying to people, yeah, but do you understand that this is going to bring out a lot of hate speech and all these sorts of things? And just giving people a little bit of an idea about the impact of some of these things.
And what saying no actually means.
Yeah.
And I think it comes back to the personal stories, I think, that I don't know, in Ireland that was very, very successful. The stories of they would knock on people's doors and talk to people, or people come out to their parents or their grandparents and showing their reactions. I think until it becomes real for people,
absolutely,
it's not. It's in the street. It's not on their doorstep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a shallow thing. Like if it's not there. If it's not there, it's not there.
Mm. Correct. We're going to go for a quick break, and then we will come back and introduce our fascinating guest. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hey, I'm Tom Bainbridge, and you're listening to Joy 94.9. It's Stand Up Straight, baby. Let's get up and about. Woo! Allies and stuff.
absolutely right, Tom Bainbridge, allies and stuff. And we're very proud to be part of this show. And we do make a difference. I think we do. We are talking about the plebiscite, but from a different perspective, and I'll introduce our guest in a moment. If you want to send a message or email in, you can send us a message on 0427JOY949, or you can send us an email on air at joy.org.au. Just want to read out a message. Hi, Susses. The whole marriage equality issue has made me angry and fearful for the rainbow community, which includes my own son. I will fight to my last breath for my son and defy anyone who thinks that my son is not deserving of equality. He's an amazing, upstanding member of the human race who inspires me to want to be better. I put my son against any hateful and spiteful, regressive, right-wing, narrow-minded bigot as a valued member of the world. He will make more change and bring greater things to the world than any of them. So that is my husband and mine. And talking about my son.
Hear that? That's everybody that's agreeing. Everybody.
And that's why, that for anybody that is unsure, this is why it is so important. Deep breath. Our guest tonight is Reverend Dr. Robin Whittaker. She's going to bring another perspective. She's part of a group of Christians that are for marriage equality. So welcome, Robin, to the microphone. To stand up straight.
Yes, we're all about the clapping tonight. I like it. It's exciting.
Thank you, Rachel. Robin, I'm just weird kind of question. How does that stuff make you feel? What you're hearing, some personal perspectives and stories.
Yeah, look, I feel sad. I also feel a bit of the guilt that we just heard, and kind of shame. I'm just disappointed in Australia. I think we're better than this. And we're now just kind of an international embarrassment. We are so far behind on this issue. So
you feel we are an embarrassment?
I think we are. When I say we really are politicians, but as a community, we're better than this, I hope.
But it reflects poorly on us because we elect our politicians. We elect them to do a job that they are not doing. So,
that's right. And when you compare Australia to the rest of the, you know, Western world, like, oh, my God. I think really when Ireland, you know, the most Catholic country in the world,
right.
I don't know if that's an actual stat, but, you know, managed it and we can't, like, come
extraordinary.
On.
Yep. I just wanted to put a little perspective on Robin. She's a lecturer at Trinity College Parkville and an ordained minister for the Uniting Church. So we've got an interesting perspective. I'm wondering if you can give us a little bit of a background of just a potted history of yourself, and you grew up where you grew up. Was it a religious environment and so on?
Yeah, sure. I grew up in the church. I'm the daughter of a minister, and in my late teens, I was very influenced by and part of quite a conservative sort of evangelical strand of the church. So I myself have moved a long way on this issue. I can understand where some of those more conservative voices come from, and by that I mean the more compassionate ones. I don't understand hate speech, and there's nothing Christian about some of the behaviour that we see in the public sphere. But as a minister in the church, I've come to believe that this is an absolutely fundamental justice issue that goes to the core of my faith. So as a Christian, to stand by and be silent or to be not supportive for me would be not being a Christian. It would be not, you know, showing the values that I hold dear, which is about being compassionate and about fighting for equality and reminding people that God loves everyone as they are.
Well, that's the really interesting thing, and I probably wanted to ask someone in the religion world this question, so now I've got you, I will.
I'll speak for all religions.
Yeah, do that.
Please do.
I guess coming from my own perspective, I grew up in a Catholic household, went to a Catholic school. I've forgotten a bit about it now, but, you know, I know the theory. But everything I ever learned about Jesus and about God was about compassion and, you know, all the stories, Jesus and the lepers and Jesus and Mary Magdalene, all those sorts of things. I just can't get my head around where that compassionate Jesus fits in with some of this religious, behaviour towards marriage equality and, I guess, the gay community generally.
Yeah, I think you're articulating a really important thing. You know, when we go back to the Jesus that's, you know, whose stories are told in the Bible, he was someone who actually sought out people on the margins. He didn't conform to what a religious person should look like. I mean, the only way I can sort of understand people who are opposing marriage equality is I think there is a genuine desire to sort of want to be faithful to the Bible. There's a nervousness about moving away to the words on the page, but I think we can be deeply serious about the Bible without being literal about it. Understanding it's a text that's 2,000 to 3,000 years old, it comes from a deeply patriarchal culture. It's not going to reflect and speak to every issue in our contemporary society.
Do you use the word nervous then? What are they nervous of or scared of, if those two words can be similar?
Yeah.
Does it change?
I think some of it is. I mean, the church institutions are slow to change. So some of it is change. I think some of it is, if I'm trying to put the most positive spin on it, it would be to say nervous about not being faithful, about sort of, you know, that they're not following God. But I think, again, if you look at the example of Jesus, Jesus was pretty radical.
Is it the unknown, though? Is it that they, you can't plan for this? They haven't planned for this. It's not written anywhere this will happen.
Yeah.
Is that maybe more what it is too?
A little bit of that. And I mean, the other thing is, I think we just have to acknowledge any person of a religious tradition that has ancient sacred texts has to acknowledge that they won't address every contemporary issue. The Bible doesn't talk about technology and driving a car because those things could not be imagined. And I would say that, like, the people who wrote the Bible could not imagine the kind of current concepts we have around the way sexuality and gender work. It was just completely foreign to them, so therefore they're not addressing them.
Do you get the... Have you had any hate speech aimed at either yourself or your congregation or the people that you are around? Because I would imagine perhaps members of the GLBTI community perhaps may not be as supportive of you or would assume that you would be anti-marriage equality. Have you had anything like that?
I haven't. I have to say I've found the GLBTIQ community to be mostly incredibly compassionate in a way that Christians aren't always compassionate in reverse. And
is that because they have
to be? I'm sorry for that.
Yes, because they have to be.
They have to be better, perhaps. When I have spoken about this a bit more publicly, the pushback I tend to get is of two kinds. One is occasionally people, and I'm quite sympathetic to this view, sort of saying religion just needs to keep out of this issue.
Yeah.
And it is a secular issue. Like, we're talking about a federal law that's not going to force any religious group to change the way they're doing things. And then I get pushback from conservative Christians because they're the ones that are actually most resistant.
As the leader of a church, how can you share the Bible in a way that is inclusive with your congregation? Like, that's a thing. So I grew up, my dad's a minister as well. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the church and it just wasn't a talked about thing. And that's why I think a lot of people who go to church are against marriage equality, because it was never talked about. The Bible was never talked about in terms of having context around things. And the verses that the people standing up in front of everyone couldn't explain just didn't get talked about. So how do you, as someone who is for equality, how do you speak to your congregation about things like that? What context do you use?
Look, in a way, I don't have to do that so much. So I should say right now I work at the other end as a lecturer training people who will be clergy.
Okay.
So for me now, the concern is how I train them so that they can do exactly what you're articulating. But I think it begins with everything. We've got to consistently model that we are dealing with ancient texts. They reflect a different worldview. And not being afraid to question and challenge and grapple with those texts. So you can model that with anything, being able to... I mean, I say to some of my students, you know, even if you believe the Bible is the inspired word of God and it's very, very sacred, if it's from God and God's big enough, there's no question we can throw at it that God can't handle. Like, we shouldn't be afraid to question and challenge and, you know. But I think we are. We think that somehow being faithful means accepting everything without questioning.
Without question.
And that's a real problem.
Do you think the younger members of the, well, all faiths, but yours in particular, are they the ones that are championing change more, or have you found it in some unusual places?
There are some unusual places. So in there's a couple of groups that I'm sort of a part of. There's an Australian Christians for Marriage Equality. There's an Equal Voices group.
I've heard that. What is that, the Equal Voices?
So Equal Voices is a group, I think, founded by a priest in Sydney called Keith Mascord and others. That's about saying, as Christians, we want to be fully welcoming and inclusive. So they support marriage equality, but it's not a single issue. It's a wider kind of challenging the church to change. And one of the things they have, you can look at their website, about almost 800 of us have signed an apology on there, acknowledging the way that the church has historically hurt gay and lesbian people in its rhetoric and language, and committing to being better than that.
Gosh, so they're saying sorry?
They're saying sorry. As much as we're a collective of people, we don't officially speak for any one church. But
that's extraordinary. Yep. I've not heard that before. Why do you think that there's not more made of that?
I don't know.
Is it not a popular choice, decision?
Yeah,
that's extraordinary.
I suspect it would have more weight if an official church leader of any one denomination came out. But because it is... But, I mean, in that group, there's everything from, like, older Catholic priests through to Pentecostals. There's such a range of people. So to go back to your question, Michelle, I think we are seeing change, but it's popping up all over the place. It's not just the younger generation. There's a lot of older clergy, maybe because they're a bit more secure in their positions, who are now speaking out.
That's scary. I was just going to say, you're listening to Stand Up Straight. We've got a little bit of Kylie coming up, especially for Robin. So stick with us.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
Now, what about lesbian porn?
That's Stephanie. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
94.9.
You are on Stand Up Straight with Michelle, Steph, Beck, Robin, and I'm Rachel.
You are.
And that was now, Kylie.
She's a friend of ours. She might know her.
She is, personally. Yeah. And very rarely played on Joy. I think they should lift their game.
They should, actually. Yes. There should be more of them.
Now, something really extraordinary has happened. We've had the most... She's our new favourite person on the face of this earth. Marie from South Melbourne has just, wait for it, given us the most extraordinary donation of $1,260. Marie, we love you.
Hope she didn't put the dot in the wrong place and it's meant to be $12.60 or something. That could be awkward for Marie.
She might not want a written message back and say, no, I didn't mean that.
But you know what? Joy is supporting everything that happens in the LGBTI community. So you can support us, you can become a member, or you can send a donation. Just head to joy.org.au. All the
everything helps.
Follow
every single
there.
Thing $12.60.
And we think we're helping a little bit by creating a conversation that's got a little bit of a different angle, and we've got a bit emotional a little bit. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on 0427JOY949, or you can send us an email on air@joy.org.au. We have received another message from
David,
who is the Rainbow Band.
Yes.
Melbourne Rainbow Band. Yes. Yeah. Loving the conversation tonight. My dad had difficulty processing my engagement to my partner. He called me about 2 months after I told him and told me his story. He turned to his local pastor to process and get advice. Partly as a result, the pastor addressed the taboo subjects with the congregation over a number of weeks. My dad now has a way of framing his thoughts that puts him good, it's interesting, good with his religion and good with his son. Knowing that there are Christians out there who are not all like the ACL gives me hope. I've got to run now. He's going to band practice. Thank you, David. The pastor's podcasts, his sermons, so we can put a link to his podcast.
That's fancy.
Isn't it? Yes, it's very, very good. So in the studio tonight, we have Robin Whittaker. She is a... Do we say passionate Christian? Do we say devout? What would be the most accurate word, Robin?
Probably not a very good Christian.
Oh, no.
But yes. No, I am passionate about my faith, I guess,
And you have had shifts in your life as far as your approach to marriage equality and other things. Can you tell me when this little shift began, in particular about marriage equality and how things changed?
Yeah, for me, the shift has sort of happened at two levels. One is very personal and one is a bit more of the intellectual processing that needs to go with that. I was out in my first parish as an ordained woman at the age of 24, which is pretty young. And it means I've encountered a fair bit of, you know, women shouldn't be ministers, women can't be priests kind of stuff. And invariably that includes quoting the Bible at me. And I realised after a while that I was being pretty hypocritical because I was able to just dismiss that as those bits of the Bible about gender are not relevant, we've moved on, blah, blah. And yet I was not doing the same for the bits of the Bible that talked about sexual acts, including homosexual acts. And so I had to sort of do the intellectual work of actually being more consistent in the way that I interpreted these ancient texts. But alongside that, in my very first church that I went out to at the age of 24 in Wangaratta, Victoria, there was a wonderful young woman who became a good friend, and she was the first out Christian I knew who was sort of my generation and who I could have these kind of honest conversations with. And she was wonderful at just helping me understand her own journey and how she as a Christian had sort of done the work of thinking through her sexuality and her faith and really just helping me put a human face to this issue, which we all need to do. And I mean, of course, now I look around and I have gay and lesbian friends. They're in my wider family. You know, this is a deeply personal issue, both at that level in terms of the people I care about and as a person of faith. When I see the Bible or, you know, religion being used as a kind of weapon against people, it makes me really mad, and it's deeply hurtful.
Deeply.
Yeah.
And do you have... I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but do you have any guilt or regret about how you may have treated people, you know, unwillingly, of course?
Yeah, yeah, I do. I mean, I wasn't always an ally, and you know, I'm sorry for that. And it's possible that without intending, I think in my mind I'd separated. I had my friends who were out of the church and a different set of standards there, and then a different set within the church. I'd sort of, so I would never have been intentionally hurtful, but I possibly was, and at the very least insensitive. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry for that. And enormously grateful to those, you know, friends who've stuck by me and perhaps put up with ignorant comments.
They might say the same about you, though, that you Maybe. Stuck by them. Do you feel that as well?
Yeah, possibly. For me, my sort of being an ally has, you know, in recent years has been trying to just be supportive and listen and remind people that they are loved and,
How common are your views amongst other ministers?
That's a great question, because the loud groups like the Australian Christian Lobby would have you believe they speak for Australian Christians, and they do not. The polls show that the majority of Australian Christians actually support marriage equality. I have a bunch of friends and colleagues that whenever I sort of speak into the public space in this kind of way, and I've written a few things in the media, sort of will write and thank me and say, you know, you're expressing our views. And I think there's some frustration in the Christian community, because there are supporters, but we don't always know how to get our voices heard, because the media will go to those extreme and highly organised lobby groups, I should say.
My question was going to be, is that why, you know, why are they so loud? How do they have that power? Is it money?
It's more interesting. It's more interesting to hear hateful people than it is to hear people who are like, we love everybody. Now, that's boring. They want to hear the people that are like, oh, I hate the, use awful names and say, because they have sex with men. And they use the terms that are exactly clickbaity. And then the media goes, I would much rather post an article about that than the lovely people over at this church who are inclusive and say everybody is welcome here. Who cares about everybody? We only care about the haters.
What do you say to the opposers? You must hear, I would imagine, a vast array of questions or hate speech as well. So what do you say? Is it a bit of a mission or a challenge for you to kind of win them over, or is it, what do you do?
Yeah, if I'm brutally honest, I would say there are some people in the sort of extreme right-wing Christianity, they're not interested in being won over. This has turned into a cultural battle for them. And so in a way, I've actually stopped engaging with those people, because I think it actually gives them a voice. But there's a huge middle ground of Christians who are, I think, trying to think through these issues, and they need to hear stories, and they need to be encouraged that you can be a Christian, or whatever faith you are, you can be a person of deep faith and be a supporter of marriage equality. These are not somehow two opposing ideas.
Something that's actually really amazing, if you go onto Google and you type in inclusive church, inclusive, like whichever religion you want to find, if you type in the word inclusive before that, it's amazing how many things pop up. But that's not the things that anybody talks about. They don't say, oh yeah, there's actually a lot of really inclusive places that you could go, because it's the quiet thing. But hopefully it's going to be the quiet underachievers who actually make a really huge difference.
Yeah, let's hope.
Robin, what's been the reaction from up above to you? I mean, do you have concerns about job security? I know that might sound silly, but I imagine there's a certain expectation of the way ministers are supposed to approach these things. What's been the reaction?
For me, partly being in the Uniting Church, that's a reasonably open church. We still need to have our internal conversation about this. But there would certainly be a lot of other Uniting Church ministers who would think similarly. And I should say, I don't officially speak for any church, which actually gives me a little bit of freedom. I'm not the head of a church that therefore has to represent that church. I can have a personal opinion. And one of the reasons I've started speaking out too, I mean, in terms of job security, I have wondered about that. But I do have supportive colleagues and bosses. And I've started speaking out partly because I have a certain privilege as a straight woman that I think other people in our community do not, whose jobs and also just personal feelings might be so much more vulnerable. So it's worth maybe a tiny risk, but I don't think it's massive.
Do you think you've found a different type of purpose in your life now, in a sense?
Yeah, I spent 10 years living in America until about a year ago, and one of the things I learned there, I was living in New York at the end, one of the things I learned there is a much stronger movement of what I would call sort of left, very social justice Christians who are great at being in the public space and saying, you know, there's an alternative kind of voice to the religious right. And I've come back to Melbourne, which is my hometown, and I love Australia dearly, but we need to be better at some of this stuff. And, so part of my role as someone who educates theologically is to want to kind of say, we need to do that in communities as well.
More with Robin Whittaker. You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Good evening, angels.
Good evening, Charlie.
You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9 with Charlie from Headspace.
We never get sick of that little chuckle,
don't
we?
It's just that little giggle in the middle. It just kills me every time.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'm old enough to be his mother.
We have Robin Whittaker in the studio with us tonight, who is part of a number of organisations, one of which is Equal Voices, and a devout and passionate Christian woman who is devoutly and passionately in support of marriage equality. And I think this is what's really lovely about the conversation tonight. I think I have felt that perhaps religion has, well, I know for me, tainted the discussion. Yep. And I have wrongly tarred probably most Christian people with the same brush, and I know that that's, you know, it's deep, definitely wrong. I'm wondering whether you've had any particular people or a group of people or a person that's been a sort of a motivating factor, or somebody that's really been that person that's helped you change your minds, opinions?
Yeah, there's been a few people that pop into my mind. You know, both close friends who have been together for years and are waiting to get married. And, you know, not everybody wants to get married, but they want the chance to get married. And again, when I lived in America, one of the things I saw, in fact, I went to what was an Episcopal church when I just moved to Chicago. And literally the second week I'm there, male priest, this guy Jim, gets up.
For those who don't know, what is Episcopal?
Oh, great question. It's a bit, it's like the Anglican church here. So that's the Anglican equivalent.
Smells
in
and bells.
Yes. Yes. Smells and bells, full choir, organ. So I went to this is my local church, and it looked like every sort of Anglican church I've ever been to in Australia in many ways, until the priest, Jim, got up in the notices and said, my husband, Mark, and I are inviting you, all the young adults, back to brunch at my house. And I'm like sitting there going, did he just say husband? Mm. Like, and no one flinched. You know, I'm like in the country for 2 weeks, and I had never heard a priest just refer to their partner of the same gender.
Does
in that
it almost
way?
Mess with your head, all that you have learnt and taught, yep, and your whole being has just been turned on its head?
Yeah, I mean, it's some of it is you can't. I mean, it's like with the ordination of women into the church. I mean, people couldn't imagine it.
Yeah,
you know. So sometimes you've actually got to see it and experience it to imagine it. And in that community, that was just so utterly unshocking. Mm. That I sat there going, what just happened? It was delightful.
Do you remember what you asked them first, or what your first question was to the people at the time?
No, I actually, in a way, I didn't have questions, because in that community it was just so clearly accepted. Yeah. And in fact, as it turned out, as I got to know them, Jim had made a lot of his ministry about being a very welcoming church, and that meant he'd attracted people who had been hurt by other churches, mm-hmm, and had found that to be a real place of healing.
Do you find that sort of space as inspirational?
Yeah, it's very inspirational. I mean, not just because of the ministry he did. What I actually found inspirational and kind of surprising was the amount, I mean, some of the people I got to know there who had particularly grown up in Southern American Christianity, mm-hmm, who had gone through horrific things like the church trying to do kind of gay therapy, those horror stories you hear. And yet somehow still came to church. as a place to find healing. I mean, to me, that's just amazing in terms of what it said about their faith, that for all the abuse they'd suffered, they were able to find something to cling on to. So they were more inspiring in many ways.
That's extraordinary faith, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It is. Because it's funny then you say that, because I just don't go to church anymore because I've been annoyed by some of the things they've said, let alone the, you know, that trauma. And I think, gosh, the strength of people's faith sometimes transcends all of this stuff a little bit, isn't it? And
yeah, it does.
Is it a bit about finding what you want in religion too, and finding your own kind of space to be comfortable with it?
Yeah, I think you've got to do that personal inner work. And, I mean, look, if it makes you feel any better, I'm frequently annoyed in church as well. I think that's just the reality. And part of that is accept the church is made up of human beings, and human beings do stupid things. So,
darn those humans.
I know.
Crazy humans, aren't they?
So, it's, you know, they're not perfect. But
is there a movement, do you think, for people going back and wanting to discover faith again in some way?
Oh, there's so much debate about that, whether the sort of new spiritualities emerging are kind of people. I don't know.
Have you experienced that, or have you seen a change at all?
I think we're seeing people moving away from very traditional forms of religion to a certain extent. Having said that, again, you know, sorry, I'm going to keep saying when I lived in America, because that was my most recent experience. My partner there was the Episcopal chaplain at Princeton University, and they had a church full of undergraduate university students doing very high church, traditional kind of Anglican, you know, choir, smells and bells, long robes with lace trim kind of stuff. And yet that the foreignness of all of that ritual was actually strangely attractive to a younger generation, which kind of amazed me. So you never know.
It's an interesting... I would wonder if it's an interesting position that you're in, that if you have ever had your faith tested, because if you've been so passionate about a particular cause, whether it is just marriage equality or other things, have you ever thought, this is too much or too hard or anything like that?
Yeah, I have. I think part of being any person of faith is you go through stages of questioning and stepping back and stepping forward. And some of that is doing... sometimes you have to just step away a bit and say, okay, let's go back to some basics. What do I believe? You know, whatever kind of spiritual form your prayer life takes. Because you don't always find a matching kind of spirituality, and, you know, you have to look around to find a community that might feed you, and that will change at different points in your life. I don't like to worship now in the way that I used to worship as an 18-year-old with kind of Hillsong-y type music. That doesn't speak to me anymore.
I just think that the whole irony around this marriage equality debate is the fact that, you know, the success of early Christianity, you know, when Jesus was around, was all about inclusion.
That's right.
That was the reason that the faith took hold, was because Christianity welcomed women. Yes. When other faiths didn't.
Yep.
Or other religions didn't. You know, you didn't have to be born into the religion, and you could be poor. So,
that's,
you know,
right.
Jesus welcomed everybody, and here, you know, people and, you know, these right-wing Christian groups are trying to discriminate. It's kind of ironic.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the famous passages in a book called Galatians chapter 3 is, in Christ there is no male or female, no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, which were absolute power dividing categories in the ancient world, and the whole point was to say everyone becomes equal in the eyes of God. And I think we've forgotten that when we separate people along sexuality and gender lines.
I personally left church because of I've been out. I'm just an out person. I've never been able to be a not out person. Yeah. And I told my parents when I was 16, which was hard for me to hold in that long until I was 16 to tell them. And I, you know, they didn't accept immediately. My dad was amazing, said, if God loves you, I love you, and that's what matters. My mum kicked me out, but is now very accepting. But something... So I left the church, and then I moved to Sydney. And when I was living in Sydney, I went to an inclusive church. It is a church specifically for LGBTI people. Mm. And there's something that the minister says every time he does communion, and he says, this is an open table. Everyone is welcome. Mm. And that, like, I wasn't even... because I grew up in quite a Pentecostal, very modern Hillsong music church, and we only did communion every now and then. And so communion was kind of like, eh, whatever thing to me. But as people who come from traditional churches know, communion is very important. And for him to say that as the first sentence every time he led this thing that is so important to so many people, it was a church full of people who had been hurt by other churches, and it was something that healed people and brought people together. And that's the thing about being... like, it, that is a Christian thing, yes. Is showing love by saying you are welcome, and that is healing in itself. So.
Yeah, so much power in that simple phrase of just being very open and welcoming. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We had a quick message. Sorry.
That's
a quick message from Andrea in Oak Park, sending her love. Hi, Michelle, and all you lovely allies. As a queer woman, I am so thankful for your show and your support and general gorgeousness.
She is gorgeous.
We do love gorgeous Andrea. Thank you. You are listening to
Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Now, what about lesbian porn?
That's Stephanie. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
That's the other one that always gives us a bit of a chuckle, Stephanie.
Yes, indeed.
It does. We've had another message come in from Stephen. He just read an article that Pakistan has passed a law making discrimination against transgender people, even issuing passports with their own gender identity. And that is how backward Australia still is. So it's kind of in line with what we're talking about tonight. We've got a lovely guest in the studio, Robin Whittaker, who is giving us a very Christian perspective on marriage equality, and perhaps... one of the things I think I've learned is that maybe I can't tar everyone with the same brush. So I want to thank you for spending some time in the studio with us tonight, Robin. You've been fascinating, and as I often say, we always say we could have another hour with you in the studio.
Thanks, Michelle. It's a pleasure to have
been
here.
It's been wonderful to have you. Thank you, and keep up your good work. The last minute or so is dedicated to our lovely Stephanie, who's not going to be heard on Stand Up Straight very frequently any longer. She's going to be part of a podcast series called
Dying to Tell.
Ooh, that's so exciting.
I know, it's exciting. It's a real tease.
I'm dying to hear it.
So I want to thank Stephanie. She's been part of the show for probably about 2 years, and we've shared some tears on and off the microphone. She's been the rock when I've been like jelly at various times in the studio. Clayton would love to have been here, but he's not be able to be in the studio tonight with us. He wanted to thank you very much, and he was really sad he missed your final show, and he has loved working with you. So thank you, Stephanie, for the work that you've put in and being, as I said, a rock in the studio, and onward and upward, as they say.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been fun. Thank you, Beck, for being in the studio. She's given a thumbs up. She's been a little unwell. Thank you very much, Rachel, across the desk.
Thanks
and for
me.
Providing some beautiful sounds for us and some applause. So thank you, everyone, for your messages. It's really, really important. Be an ally however you can. You've been listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.